with me.
It's time for everybody's favorite show, the Heather Nursery Gardening Corner. Now, here are those two wild and crazy gardening guys, Dwayne Hasted and Terry Overlander, ready to take your questions at 598-7301 or 598-FM92.
And good morning, Paul Ramo. Once again, sitting in for Terry Overlander for the Garden Show. And I think we're going over to Montevideo to visit with Dwayne this morning. Morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Paul, and everybody out there listening. Just like to remind everybody, if you have a question, I know we have some already, but if you have questions on horticulture, we'd be glad to try to answer them on the air for you. Or if you have them during the week, try to get a hold of me at one of the shops in Madison, Dawson, or Montevideo, and be glad to answer your questions.
All right, yeah, you can call 320-598-7301. That's 598-7301. Maynard will answer the phone and take your question. And, yeah, we'd like some questions this morning on this warm day again.
Yeah, it's hot out there, Paul, and it's hot for the plants, too. So, you know, when you're out working, you got to hydrate and drink, you know, a lot of water. And your plants need that, too, because especially this year, that they're used to a lot of water. You know, it's been raining, and they're used to it. So they haven't really had a chance to maybe develop their root system fully, you know, especially like some of the annuals or perennials or shrubs or trees you planted. They haven't had to work to go looking for water. And so maybe their root system isn't developed far enough yet. So got to make sure to water those. And, okay. A lot of those plants now, you know, hanging baskets and container type things, the only water they're getting is the water you're giving to them or watering them. So make sure you water your plants.
How can you tell that your plants are under stress?
Well, if they're under stress, a lot of them will, the pressure in the plant isn't high enough. And so what it does, it limps out. And so it actually collapses, you know, so it wilts.
Okay.
And if your plants are wilting, you probably should have watered them the night before or whatever.
Okay.
If your plants are wilting, you know, people ask, you know, when's the best time to water your plants? To prevent, you know, diseases and fungus, you want them to dry out before it goes into the cooler temperatures of the evening. But if your plants are wilting or if you need to water, you better water whenever you can, or else a better time is to water in the morning so those plants actually have the water going into the heat of the day.
Okay, well, the phone's ringing here.
Water.
Yeah, water. That's right, on warm days
and
like
if,
today.
And if you are watering, you know, with a can or you have a hose in, don't forget to fertilize them. And if you use a fertilizer that dilutes in water, you know, you can use that. Or if you do put a granular fertilizer around the base of the plant, I would definitely water it in because you don't want to burn the plant with over-fertilizing them.
Okay.
But with all the moisture we've had, the plants are running out of some of that energy. So if you haven't fertilized, I would definitely
do that too, okay.
The plants should definitely have it at least once a month.
All right. Once again, if you have a garden or lawn question, call us here at the radio station, and we'll get it on the air here, 598-7301. And here's our first phone-in question, Dwayne. When is the best time to trim your irises?
The iris are done now, and so if you have the stalk on there, you can cut that off. If the leaves are turning yellow, you can. What you do is, it's called fanning your iris, is to make them look like a small fan. You cut them back that way, so they're maybe 6 to 8 inches, maybe 6 inches tall, kind of rounded off so it looks like a fan. And maybe a month from now, if your irises are really thick, you should divide them out because they don't like to be thick. They'll flower better if they're thinned out. Then you go through and the underground part, the stem of the iris is right at ground level. It's called a rhizome. And you should go through those rhizomes, let them dry out a little bit. And if they're moldy or rotten, throw them away, keep the good ones, and then plant them back in. And don't plant them very deep. They're real shallow. You plant iris real shallow.
Okay. All right. Good answer. All right. Another
a long answer, huh?
All right, here's another
one. I've had a couple questions this week.
Okay, go ahead.
Before the show ends, I'd just like to remind people of Horticulture Night. I know you guys have been talking about that on the radio a little bit, but Horticulture Night is the University of Minnesota at Morris West Central Research and Outreach Center. Puts on a great program. If you've never been up there, I would definitely go up to Morris. July 25th, it's from 5 to 9. And they have lots and lots of speakers. I think they have 9 different speakers. Some of the topics are vines, mulches, containers, pastas, what's eating my vegetables, which is something we probably should talk about, pests, what's bugging my garden, and talks about common soil and garden myths. Those are all talks. They'll be spread out through the garden. And it's a demonstration garden, so they have all different kinds of, you know, plants, annuals, perennials, trees. And I know they've expanded just lately, so there's something new. So if you've been there before, there are new things this year. So check that out. Horticulture Night at the University of Morris at the Experiment Station, July 25th from 5 to 9.
Okay. They do that about every year, don't they?
They do that every year, and it's the last Thursday of July they do it. Steve Poppy's been putting it on for years, and I know there's a lot of volunteers and a lot of people that put a lot of work into that. If you haven't been there, or even if you have been there, it's definitely worth going to. And they also have booths. They also have food booths there. They have vendors, educational booths, and there's even going to be live music up there. And it's all free.
Okay.
Well, the food isn't free, but
then
you have to buy plants and stuff if you're looking for buying stuff. But
all right, that would be next Thursday then, right? The 25th?
Next Thursday, yep. Okay. We'll be talking about next Thursday too, but definitely something. It's the 49th time they've done this event, so it's been going on for a long time.
Wow, okay.
Wes Gray used to be the horticulturist up there, was a great part of it and started part of the garden, so it's definitely good, worth going to.
Okay. Real good. Yeah, that's a good question that you just asked. What's eating my garden? Is that what the question was?
Yep. I had a lot of questions this week or even before that. I even know Terry's had problems with rabbits and deer. Deer have been really bad. There must be a great deer population out there now. They come right up and been eating in gardens, and there's a deer repellent. Probably the best thing to do is to put a fence up if possible to keep the deer away. And also, there's a deer repellent you got to spray on there. Rabbits are another one that's hard. There's a rabbit repellent, too. You can try that. Or a lot of people plant marigolds around the garden or in their garden, and a lot of creatures don't like the smell of the marigolds, so that helps a natural repellent. Also, another repellent that's been used for years is it sounds terrible, but it's a human waste product that you can sprinkle on your garden. It's
really?
Also a fertilizer.
Okay. Wow.
It's a granular type thing, and it repels. It really works. I had a lot of people that use that, and and that's another thing to do. It's called Milorganite. It's a fertilizer, non-burning. And it helps prevent, it's also a fertilizer, like I said, and helps keep the animals out of there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you just answered one of our next questions here. What can I put down to keep the rabbits from eating my plants? And there's a rabbit repellent, you said, huh?
There's a rabbit repellent. One's called Plant Skid. That's a deer repellent. There's some natural, also insect repellents, snake repellents. All those things you can try, but that's tough to keep those creatures out when they're hungry. A fence would be the good thing, or rabbits, I suppose, you'd bring the BB gun out.
Yeah. I know Terry's been having problems with his deer in his garden, he said yesterday.
Yeah, so. Bad. They just come right up the garden, and it seems like they know what they want to eat, too. Some, obviously, they have preferences on different kinds of shrubs and different vegetables, so if they have taste buds too.
All right.
The other thing that's going absolutely wild out there, Paul, is crabgrass. It's a lime green grass. You know, if you didn't get your crabgrass preventer down, lime green grass usually grows in the sunny spots of your lawn, likes it hot and humid. And again, lime green grass, it kind of sticks above the other grass right now, but it's going to spread out. And it's called crabgrass because the seeds kind of have a crab shape. Yeah, so it looks like a crab claw on the end.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one to get rid of. The preventer in the spring is the way to take care of that.
Yep.
There is a product called Q or Quincep that you can spray on that. And it's one of the chemicals that you're supposed to spray when it's hot.
Okay.
And it will set it back, but it's a tough one to take control now.
Yeah, I know Maynard's been having that problem with his lawn, and he just shouted it out here in the studio. He says, and I get crabby when that happens.
Yeah, I do too, because you can just see it. It's the lime green grass in your lawn right now that kind of sticks up above the other grass.
All right, and speaking of grass, your lawn, question here was, I have a patchy lawn, and how do I fix that patchy lawn? You know, dead spots on your lawn. Why does that happen?
You know, over the winter, you get winter kill, that type of stuff. Sometimes there's natural dieback. If your lawn is turning, you know, it's kind of fading. Your lawn's kind of fading. It isn't as bright green as it was in the spring. It's just because of the hot weather. And also, if you do see brown patches in there, I have seen grub worms. It's a white C-shaped larva in the dirt. So if you take that browny area on the edge where it's green-brown and you kind of lift that up, and if that brown grass comes right up and there's no roots under there, I bet you got grub worms, and you need to get an insect repellent on there, or a grub killer on the lawn.
Okay. Call-in question here.
When if your lawn is thin, you know, and it's brown, July is probably not the time to work on it because it's too darn hot. You should put your grass seed fall fertilizer on. I would do it, you know, I always say about state fair time, do it in mid-August so when you get fall rains that it takes off, plus evenings are cooling off and the grass will grow better in warm days, cool nights.
Okay.
So work on your lawn. If you're going to spend money on your lawn, you do it in the fall.
All right.
If you're only going to do it once.
All right. Yeah, Maynard's been busy answering the phone. Here is our next question, Dwayne. When peonies are done blooming, can you cut them back, or should you wait till fall?
You can do both. If you have the seed pods or the deadhead, you can deadhead those peonies so they look better. You can cut the tops off, but I would leave the leaves, because leaves are kind of attractive. Plus, when they're green, they're taking in energy and building up the root system, so you don't want to cut them all the way off yet. You want to cut them all the way to the ground, either in the fall or early spring before they start growing. But deadhead them now, cut them down in the fall.
Okay, one quick question, or I've got a couple minutes here. I have a maple tree that is losing its bark. Do you know why?
Well, a lot of maples when they're younger or they have smooth bark trees get sun scald in the wintertime. And what it is, the sun beats down on the side of the trunk of the tree. And in the winter, it actually gets expands and then contracts the water-carrying tissues in the plant, so it actually expands and cracks that bark, and then in the summertime it just gets worse. So you should peel that bark off. Don't rip it, but peel it off or take a sharp knife, and then you should spray that over, whether it's called pruning sealer or pruning balm, which is a black asphalt type thing, so you seal it up so the bugs and diseases and water don't get in there.
All right.
You want to seal that up and make sure you wrap that tree in the wintertime.
All right.
Smooth bark trees need to be wrapped in the winter.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne. We're running out of time. Another great show. Appreciate you answering all the questions.
You bet. People have questions of the week, they can get a hold of me, and,
Okay.
Don't forget your shops in Madison, Dawson, Montevideo, Heather Nursery, and Floral. So we appreciate your support.
All right. Have a good day, Dwayne.
You bet. You too, Paul, and everybody else out there. Keep cool.